You're on your Classic Kids Breakfast with Jordan Curtis, and if you're looking to get started on your weight loss journey, you have got some kilograms that you'd like to shed. Well, there are some tips on out there to help you along the way. I'm joined by Lisa Parkinson, accredited exercise physiologist, director of Optimum Exercise Physiology. Claire, Lisa, how's it going?
Yeah, great, Jordan. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. So, if we are looking to lose some weight, what are some of the tricks we can utilize to get that going?
Yeah, well, there are, you know, we know that we need to eat well and we need to exercise and all those types of things, but there are a few really quick things that we can put into place that might, you know, have an impact on your weight really quickly without having to change too much. So the first one is to check what you're drinking. So like we say, people watch what they eat, but they don't necessarily think about the hidden calories or hidden sugar in many drinks. And there are loads of hidden sugar in lots of drinks that you just might not be aware of. So for instance, thinking about a 250ml glass of wine, it has about half a teaspoon of sugar. So not huge amounts of sugar, but it does have some sugar in there. If we're thinking about orange juice, like lots of people have orange juice in the morning with their breakfast, that contains about 6 teaspoons of sugar. So getting a little bit higher there. And then our can of Coke contains around 9 teaspoons of sugar. So if you add that across the day, maybe, you know, you're adding 1 or 2 teaspoons of sugar to your coffee or your tea as well, and you add it up all across the day, it can end up being quite a high amount of sugar that you're having. And just by eliminating a few of those, it can have a really great impact on your weight.
I guess that's really interesting with how much sugar is in a glass of orange juice, because I know that earlier this year, producers of orange juice were getting annoyed that the health star rating dropped because it was reassessed and not as healthy as it may appear.
What is it? 3 or 4 oranges it takes to actually make a glass of orange juice. So, you know, we're just getting kind of the sugar and the water value of it. And, you know, probably still getting those vitamin C and those minerals and nutrients, but we're not getting that fiber that you would have from having a normal orange, which would fill you up.
Right. Okay. So that's one thing we can do, check what we're drinking. What else can we do to try and lose weight?
Yeah, so the next thing we're going to try and do is increase your NEAT exercise. And so it's actually not really exercise, but it stands for non-exercise activity thermogenesis. And basically what this means is that is the energy that we burn when we're undertaking activity that is not considered to be actual exercise. So that old adage of taking the stairs rather than the lift, parking the car further away, walking to work, et cetera, all of those increase that amount of energy that we burn when we're not trying to, basically. And this is a really great way or a neat way to increase the amount of energy that we burn throughout the day without actually planning it into our day. Although we do know that we do need to undertake some of those planned activities as well. But if we can increase that, you know, that NEAT activity, that incidental exercise, it can help to burn that little bit extra energy for you as well.
Hmm. And like you said, while we are watching our liquid, we could also just be watching the food we're eating too.
Yeah, so sometimes I get people coming to me and we have a look at what they're having throughout the day, and the food that they're having are all from the really good, great food groups. But sometimes it's not what you're eating, it's how much you're eating. And too much of a good thing isn't always a good thing. So one area that generally comes up for people is their meat portions, particularly at their evening meal. So it's recommended that, you know, if we look at men between the age of 51 and 70 years of age, it's recommended that they limit themselves to 2.5 serves of lean meat each day. But the thing here is the serving size. So a serving size of cooked lean meat for a male age in that age group is actually 65 grams. So if you're looking at a steak, it's 65 grams. And that's no more than the size of your palm. So if you're thinking about how much meat you're putting on your plate at night, there may be an opportunity to cut down on your portions. And again, you're limiting or reducing a little bit more energy throughout the day, which overall can help with your weight.
So I guess if you are looking at a steak for dinner, if you haven't had any lean meat at all during the day, so 2.5 palms worth.
Yeah, 2.5 palms worth. But then, you know, you might have some ham in your lunch, or you might be having eggs for breakfast, which are also kind of part of that protein food group. Nuts as well also fall into that food group, fish, seafood, poultry. So it's not just your meat at the evening meal. We need to also think about what you're having throughout the day as well in terms of protein.
Hmm. And I guess it doesn't hurt to get some exercise after dinner.
Yeah, so we know that our blood glucose levels generally peak around about 2 to 3 hours after we eat. So for those people who might have pre-diabetes or type 2 diabetes or perhaps are a little bit rounder in the tummy as well. Exercise helps to use the glucose in our blood without the use of the hormone insulin. So this is a really great thing for our bodies because exercise can help to reduce our blood glucose levels without the need for our pancreas to pump out a heap of insulin to try and get those blood glucose levels down. So it helps the insulin. So insulin does its work, but then exercise comes in and it just is that added bonus to get that blood glucose levels down after our big meal, which is great for our health. And the other thing is that that can last for up to 72 hours post-exercise session. So exercise is a really good thing to help with those blood glucose levels, like I said, particularly for people with pre-diabetes or type 2 diabetes, but great for anyone as well.
And one final tip?
Final tip is about our sleep. So our sleep can be just as important as healthy eating and exercising when it comes to obesity. So studies show that poor sleep is one of the strongest risk factors for obesity, and it's linked to an 89% increased risk of obesity in children and 55% in adults. So if we're not sleeping well, you have a higher risk of going into that obesity BMI group there. So, but there is some really good news, and that's that there appears to be a positive influence of exercise on sleep disorders. So quality of life and or severity of sleep disorders appear to be positively impacted by regular exercise. So if you're not sleeping very well, you know, get out there and exercise, and that can help you to sleep better, which can help you to reduce your risk of future obesity as well.
No worries. Well, Lisa, we might just leave it there. Thank you so much for chatting today.
You're welcome. Thanks, Jordan.
That was Lisa Parkinson, accredited exercise physiologist on your Classic It's Breakfast.